My, my, my. Come on, let's reach out to the Lord right now. Open your heart. Open your heart to receive what God has for you today. Thank you, Jesus. I glorify you. I worship you. Amen, amen. Thankful for safe trip for many of our folks that made the trip to Colorado Springs for Heritage. And glad they all got back in one piece. And very thankful for all the reports that came from that meeting. And how many of you know who Brother Grant is? Anybody here know who Brother Grant is? Well, he got the Holy Ghost this past week. Gave me a phone call and told me all about it. Amen. That was a bright day in a very dark week. I want to thank this church for your prayers for my wife's mother. And we did bury her on Friday. And she was 90 years of age. She's a good, faithful Christian woman. And I feel, in spite of having me for a son-in-law, I think she made it. Amen. She's a good, good, good woman. And thank you for your prayers. That's one of the best things we can do for somebody. Amen. Is pray for them when they're going through a trial or any kind of a problem. And I want to say how much we appreciate all of our guests. Thank you for being here. Amen. And God's doing great things. Appreciate the Holy Ghost Spirit that we have been involved in now for quite some time. And the new souls have been added to the kingdom. Amen. But you know what? That's just a drop in the bucket to what God wants to do, what God can do, what God will do if we'll allow him to. Amen. I'd like to direct your attention to the book of Lamentations. Don't hear anybody preach from that very often, but nice little portion of scripture here I'd like for us to look at, the third chapter, verse 26 through 28, and then on Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse 21. I'm going to be speaking a lot of what I'm going to be talking about today is for you young people. And I've just had a burden for you guys here for a good while. So you've heard me preach to you several times lately, but man, this woke me up. I don't know how many times last night, up early this morning, and just really praying that God will give me a window. And that he will open for me the ability to give to you what he's put in my heart. It's here, but I need to get it out to you. And sometimes that's easier said than done. And I would appreciate everybody being in prayer during this time and help us. All right, in Lamentations 3:26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Pay attention to that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. Something's going to happen when you put that yoke on your shoulder and you begin to work for the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 22 and 21, God speaking through him to the backslidden nation of Israel. I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidest, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyedest not my voice. This hath been thy manner from thy youth. You know what you will be as you get older has pretty much been determined by what you were during your youthful years. Because we're creatures of habit, and we tend to just stay in that same routine throughout our life, except I guess you might say it's like a path that's walked upon many times. It gets more pronounced. It gets deeper. It gets more defined as time goes on. So we have an opportunity to assess where we are, to look at ourselves honestly, asking God to put his light upon our hearts, upon our soul, to judge us, to try the reins, to see if there's anything in us that needs to be changed, that needs to be refined, that needs to be purged. Amen. Are you listening to me? I think all of us have some areas that God would work on if we would invite him to help us. Amen. So I'm going to preach with God's help on this subject, bearing God's yoke. Bearing God's yoke. Would you pray with me one more time? Jesus, thank you for your presence here this afternoon. Thank you for the souls that you've gathered together, that you might be able to talk to us, that you might be able to lead us, you might be able to give us answers to things we're struggling with. God, we ask, Lord, for your word to go forth unfettered, unhindered. Open a door of utterance for me. God, I'm trusting in you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Please be seated. You know, we're living in an age when it seems like that young people just keep resisting having to become an adult. It's like they don't want to grow up. You see men 30 years old still sitting at home in the basement, and all they do is play video games. Mom and dad's taking care of them. They don't want to grow up and take on responsibility. And so consequently, they just keep postponing. But I'm going to tell you what, there comes a time in your life when you've got to step up. Amen. You can't be a child from now on. Amen. But there's things that, especially if you're going to be a Christian, especially if you're going to be a Christian. So that time comes. And so, as I mentioned just a moment ago, we're creatures of habit. Without even realizing it, there are certain things that you do, you are not aware of it until others point it out to you. Sometime in the last few months, my wife and I observed a couple of our grandkids that when they eat all of one thing on their plate, and then all of the second thing, then all of another and another. When we pointed out to them, they didn't even know they were doing that. So there may be some of you caught in the same situation. But, you know, we just do things a certain way so long, it just becomes who we are. We don't think about it. It's just what we do. Second nature. There are a lot of things in our lives that follow such a pattern as what I'm describing here. And I'm not so concerned about how you eat your food, as long as you're not spitting it on me. But I am concerned about the things that you consume of this world. What you read, what you look at, what you talk about, where you go, who you associate with, what you do when you're associating with. All of these things are very, very important, because you're setting a direction and you're setting a pattern by which your entire life will follow as you go through this period of time between now and when God takes us away from here. And I'm telling you, it's very, very important that you honestly look at yourself and say, God, I want to see what you see when you look at me. Because we already know the Bible says every man's ways are right in his own eyes. Just as soon as somebody begins to put a little pressure on us about something, what's the first thing most people start doing? They got 49 excuses. Amen. It's everything from the dog's fault to the Pope's fault and many things in between. Amen. But they can almost convince you that whatever they're involved in is not their fault if you really listen to them and believed what they're saying. Nobody seems to want to just own up to a problem and say, I need to fix this. Somebody said, how do you fix it? You take it to the fixer. You take it to the one that created you. There's nothing wrong with you that God can't help fix if you'll be honest to him. Amen. If you'll take your faults, amen, your fears, your failures, your sins to him and repent, amen, he will forgive you. He said he would not refuse an humble and a contrite spirit. So you said, I've tried to repent, but God didn't forgive me. The problem is on you. It's not on God. You came with a haughty spirit. You came trying to cover up a little bit and kind of ease in on the blind side. God doesn't have a blind side. Amen. If you want to get something from God, be a man, be a woman, and talk to him face to face and just tell him the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so all of you young people, how many of you got to go to the conference this past week? Would you stand up? Stand up where we can see. No wonder it didn't look like we had anybody here. All right, thank you. You can be seated. Was it a good conference? How many of you got something out of it? How many of you got a renewing? Come on, did you get a good renewing of the Holy Ghost while you were there? Okay, good. You're just right for what I want to preach about, because I'm going to talk to you about what are you going to do with it. Amen. You got a renewing. How many times has God renewed you and then you slump and slip back into that same place where you were before? We can't do that. It's time to move forward. You hear me? We got to take this to the next level. I'm not content to stop right now where you are from that conference. I want us to leave here another step or two higher. How about that? Does anybody here have a hunger for God? Is there anybody here that wants to go all the way with him? Is there anyone here that wants to become a soul winner? Hallelujah. Praise God. You can be seated. So, by a certain general age, let's say 15, 16 to 18 years of age, you pretty much have already begun to define your personality, what kind of person you are, what you're going to be as you get older. Amen. But you know what? You're still young enough that you can make changes and make things better. Amen. Everybody say praise the Lord. You know, I know many of you have made mistakes, and more than just make mistakes, I'm just going to say that very, very plain, you have committed sin, and it was things that you had to get right with God, and thank God that you have repented, but we got to move beyond that, right? Yes, got to learn lessons, amen, and move forward. Because if the devil can't trip you and cause you to sin and leave you wallowing in your sin, then he's going to beat you to death from now on, condemning you over what you've repented of time and time again. You know, I'm kind of a little sensitive about certain things. It's kind of like this. If somebody's done me wrong and they come to me and say, hey, I'm sorry, and I say, I forgive you, I do not ever want them to bring it up again. Because every time they do, they're actually questioning whether I forgave them or not. Do you understand where I'm coming from? How does God feel when he takes our sins and casts it behind his back? He removes it from us as far as from the east. And we come back again and again, repenting of the same old thing that God forgave you of 5 years ago. It's time to move on. Amen. Repent. Get it right. Amen. Prove that you're going to live right, and let's move forward for God. Don't listen to the lie of the devil. Oh yeah, he remembers it. He's the one that talked you into it. He's the one that was there egging you on when you got into that sin, and he don't want to let you forget it, but he's a liar. Amen. You can't believe one thing he says because he's the father of lies. I've said this before, but maybe if I say it again, somebody will finally get a hold of it for the first time. And that is this: whatever the devil tells you, the opposite is the truth. He can't tell the truth. He will not tell the truth. When he tells you you're going to backslide, you ought to shout, leap for joy, because he just revealed something. He knows you're going to make it. He's trying to talk you out of what God's got in store for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. And I want you to work on it now, because the older you get, the harder it is to change. You know, just little old habits that you've got. Not even necessarily something simple, but you just do things a certain way, and it's just kind of like a lot better ways to do it. But it just, you just get set in your ways. I'm not there yet. A lot of people much younger than I am are, but I'm not. Not at all. Except I just like things done a certain way. The right way. You understand what I'm saying? You got a little bit of that in you too, don't you, Brother Derek? Yeah, that's what I thought. I've known you a long time, haven't I? Amen. Drove by where the devil tried to kill you a few days ago. And I said, looky there. There's where Derek almost lost his life, but God intervened for him. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just felt the Holy Ghost when I talked about that. I don't know what that signifies. What are you doing with it? Come on. We got to all get busy and do something for God. Don't waste your life just messing around. Come on, let's make it count for something. Let's have some sheaves that we can bring to God. Amen. Let's have a few stars, amen, in our crown when we get to glory because of those that we have led to truth. Amen. So Jeremiah was preaching to this backslid nation of Israel. They had left God a long time earlier. They had abandoned the old paths. They were steeped in idolatry. There was all kinds of ungodliness and filth and abominations that they were indulging in. And God had accused them of being in total rebellion against his laws from the time of their youth. Jeremiah 22:21, which I already read for text, but I'm going to bring it out here right now. I spake unto thee in thy prosperity when you were doing real well, when I was blessing you. Everything was well. But you said then, I will not hear. He said, that's the way you've been. That hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. I do not want God to have to say that about me. I do not want God to have to say that about any one of you that's here in this building today. The hardest, worst thing you could ever do is to get your heart so hard and your head so hard, amen, that you can just, without any feeling of guilt or remorse, you can disobey the word of God. You can sin blatantly and you feel no condemnation. Somebody said, that doesn't bother me, so there must not be anything wrong with it. No, probably there's something wrong with you. Let's back up. If it doesn't bother you and it's simple, then the fault lies with you. Amen, because you've hardened your heart. You're getting yourself to a place that God can't even reach you any longer. When you get to where you can do things that are forbidden in the word of God, by word and by commandment and by principle, and just come on to church and act like everything's all right, you are in a dangerous place spiritually. And some of you have been there. I'm encouraging you, do not go back to that place again. Don't make any room in your life for the devil. Amen. Don't try to be, as Brother Waldrop mentioned, a little period of time in his teen years when he was getting as close to the world and as close to, if I can do this and still be saved, all that kind of bickering and bartering with the devil, actually. Amen. He'll bring you out a little at a time. Amen. We got to get as far away from that as possible. Don't. This is not how you work with God. Like, how far can I do this? I've had people ask me, well, can I do this and still be saved? I said, probably not. Well, what's wrong with it? Your attitude. Amen. The proper attitude is, if this isn't pleasing to God, I don't even want to be close to it. I want to go to heaven. I want to please the Lord. No price is too great to pay. Amen. I want him to be proud of me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you a ruler over many things. Come on, young people, if you could get a hold of what I'm trying to tell you today, this is going to revolutionize your life. You're not going to be sliding back from time to time, up and down, in and out. Amen. You're going to be locked in there. I know most of you are, but there's some of you that really need what I'm preaching right now. Amen. Thank God for where you are, but learn how to stay where you are and reach a higher ground. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. You know, don't deceive yourself and say, well, I'm a kid. I'm having fun. When I get older, I'll get serious about living for God. No, 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 no. By the time you get older, in the world we're living in right now, you're going to be so messed up, you won't even know what to do to find God 5 years down the road from now. Amen. But what you need to do is get serious about living for God right now. God likes, God's a God of covenant. He loves covenants. Did you know that? Old Testament actually is a covenant. New Testament between Jesus Christ and the church, it's a covenant. Amen. We're saved because of God making covenants available for humanity. Amen. He will take you into his arms and make you a part of him. This blows my mind. God, the creator of all things, will make a covenant with me. And it doesn't matter what comes or goes. He's going to keep his part of the covenant. And I'm nothing. Especially compared to him. But he wants to make a covenant with you. But you've got to be willing. Amen. There's two sides to every covenant. Call it a contract, if you please. Different ways that we could describe it. But it's a commitment that you make that you intend to keep. And it's got some real, real good things coming your way if you do what you're supposed to do. Praise God. You'll see it through the Bible. That little preposition, if. Oh, it's one of the biggest words in the English vocabulary. So many things hinge on one little thing. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. And then he goes on to tell about what all he's going to heal and restore. Amen. He's going to do such great and wonderful things for those, amen, that repent and humble themselves. And you can beg him for 10 years to give you that part, but you're not going to get it until what? You humble yourself and pray, seek the Lord, turn from your wicked ways. In other words, thorough repentance brings God's favor. Praise God. And so there's things that we need to learn right now. When I say we, I'm talking about all of us teenagers. And I'm one several times over. I know more about being a teenager than you do. I have been 13, God only knows how many times. That's 13, 26, 39, and I go on and on and on. So I understand what it's like to be a teenager. I don't know how many different generations of teenagers I've raised up in my ministry or helped them get through to adult status. I know I've been pastoring 50 years, so that's quite a few that's gone passed through my hands over the years. And I know what works and what doesn't work when it comes to young people serving God. And so in Lamentations 3:27, we read again, and it's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. How many of you know what a yoke is? You ever seen these wooden, mostly made out of wood, and they're kind of, they have a little hump in it and come out on either side. That's for one animal. Sometimes it has a double yoke. And it's all made out of wood. There's a deal that slips up through there like a collar and is connected into that yoke. And that ox is a certain species of cows that are bred not for milk or for food, but they're bred for to be work animals. And that was a preferred animal that was used back during Bible days, especially among the Israelites. And so everybody that heard this knew exactly what he was talking about. Right. It'd be like us, if you're a farmer, I've got a certain kind of tractor. Right. Amen. If you don't have John Deere, you need to come and talk to me. Got a few things to explain to you. That's a superior line of tractors. Amen. How many of you here own a tractor? Could I see your hand? Are you ashamed of it? Okay, one, two, three. Oh, yeah. My goodness. We could have some pulling contest or something. But that was the tractor in the Bible. And you don't wait until an ox is 5 years old and you're going to train him to pull a heavy load, to pull a plow all day, to walk round and around to help thresh the grain as you try to separate it from the chaff and from the, other parts that you don't use, you know, the grass part and all that. You got to get rid of all that. But they started them out when they were little calves. They're trying to get them tamed down, trying to get them to trust the owner, the one that's going to use that beast in years to come, and that his livelihood and the livelihood of his family depends upon him having an ox that he can depend on. And so they probably put smaller ones on them, lightweight things, just to get them used to feeling that on their neck. But do you know what that signifies when they've got that yoke on? That they are under submission to the person that owns them. They have submitted their will to the will of the person that looks after them. Make sure they have food and water and looks after them to try to protect them from parasites and other things. Amen. They got to keep that oxen well so that they will be able to take care of their family. And so the Bible says it's good for man that he bear the yoke while he's a young person. Praise God. Amen. That's why we use a lot of you kids in different positions and things. We're not waiting until you're 25 or 30 years old and all of a sudden that's a magical moment when you can step forward and shine. No, I believe in training up a child in the way he should go. Amen. And when he becomes, a little older, where he can take on responsibility, as much responsibility as they can take on and be faithful at, I'm all for it. Amen. Because I want to see them become a vessel, a chosen vessel that God can use. Amen. To forward the work of the kingdom. So this yoke was a device that put on their shoulders, and that's what they hooked up the cart to if they're going to haul some heavy stuff. That's what they hooked up to if they were going to plow the fields and so forth. There was different instruments that they used, but it all had to be hooked up to that yoke. And if you're going to work for God and do anything for God, you got to have his yoke on you. Amen. You got to be submitted to God. It's got to be a voluntary submission. Amen. It's not like some pets I've had. They surrender when they want to. Amen. I've had several pets that actually, I think, won the battle, and they had me catering to them more than they were to me. But I'm afraid sometimes that's the way we want to try to approach God. Don't feel like you're so special and that you don't have to come down the same route that everybody else went down to be used of God. Amen. There's several of you that feel a call to preach. Don't think you get to preach just because of who you are, what your name is, or who you're connected with or not connected with. Amen. I can't give you a ministry. If I could, I wouldn't. Amen. Because you need to dig in and earn it just like I did my ministry. Praise God. Because if you don't have some skin in the game, you don't even appreciate what you've got. Amen. And so what I'm talking to you young people about today is I want you to get busy doing something for God. Those of you that can sing and you're not singing in the youth choir, shame on you. Yourself. I think you're a big spoiled brat. That's what I think you are. And I'm pretty sure God and I have a pretty similar, you know, idea about that. Amen. What's wrong? You know what it is? Some of you just don't want to submit. Somebody wants you to sing in the choir, so you're not going to do it. It has to be your notion, your idea. God's not going to accept that. You're setting up a pattern that will probably mess up your marriage when you get married. Somebody said, just take my word for it. You sat in the office as many times as I have and talked to as many crazy people as I have. Oh, I have people from the neighborhood. I've started turning them down because all they do is eat up your time and they don't ever do what you told them to do, and you got other things to do. But you just can't believe some of the crazy things that people get involved in and why they can't get along. And the deal is each one of them is blaming the other one, and they're both just as stubborn as they can be. I can see them sitting there when I'm counseling them, and he is listening for anything that said that he can use as ammunition on his wife. But not to be outdone, she's listening with everything within her for me to say something that she can use as ammunition against her husband. And so they've sat here and tied up my office for 2 hours, and all I've done is loaded both of them with an hour's worth of ammunition to go home and use on each other. And I've even seen them start using it before they left my office. When can we meet again? What I'm talking about, we got to get some things under control right now. I love it when somebody says, Pastor, I'm interested in such and such a young lady. What do you think about that? I love it when I can say, you know what? That is a very sincere, godly young lady. If she would have anything to do with you, you'd be a very fortunate young man. I like it when it's the other way around. What about such and such a young man? That young man's got his heart set to live for God and serve the Lord. Amen. God's got his hand on him. Praise God. So it's time to get a yoke on you. It's time to go to work. It's time to have a consistent prayer life. It's time to read your Bible. Amen. How many of you young people read your Bible through last year? Would you raise your hand? How many of you? Oh, my goodness. A half dozen? Well, okay. Guess what? It's already August. How far are you in your Bible this year? Jesus wept. Pray without ceasing. That's about all some people know about their Bible. Listen to me, young people. The Word of God is your food. So you know what you're telling me? You're living on French fries and hot dogs. You don't even appreciate the value of a good meal. I'm not talking about literally. I'm talking about spiritually. The Word of God. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Every word of God. So I'm making an assignment to you. Pick up one of our little calendars with it marked off how many chapters you need to read each day to read your Bible through in a year. And I want you to start at the present date and just read your Bible all the way through. And it'll be about this time next year when you finish it, if you follow that chart. Sometimes, well, I'm really, really busy. Really. Do you think all the other people in this church that read their Bibles through last year didn't have anything else to do, so they just decided to read their Bibles? Some of them, they take a lunch break or just a regular break, and they read their Bible. That's how they stay caught up. But they do it consistently, and so that word is coming into you 365 days a year. tell you, when something comes up and I can't read my Bible first thing, it bugs me all day long. Amen. And sometimes that happens, especially when you have unpredictable events happening that requires your attention. But let's get into the Word. You know what? Not only get into the Word, why don't you get to where you can teach it? How many of you young people would like to teach a Bible study to somebody? Come on, raise your hand if you'd like to do that. I see most of you raise your hand. My Lord, we could have a revival and a half around here if I could just get you hooked up. Amen. Start looking for an opportunity. I promise you, we will provide the materials if you'll provide, amen, if you'll provide the opportunity to teach somebody. Praise God. My, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had to push back two or three more rows around these aisles? Because, see, I require the young people a certain age to sit up front because they get more out of the service. Amen. And just the spirit of unity. It's just a good policy, and it works really well. Amen. So I'm pleading with you. Now is the time to serve the Lord with your whole heart. Amen. Ecclesiastes 12 and 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. What he's saying, if you go on living your life as a young person, amen, succumbing, yielding to the lust of your flesh and other things like this, when you get older, you're going to want to draw back to God, and you're going to look back on these days, and you are going to hate yourself for the way that you wasted your life and the opportunities that you messed up that God had given unto you. And I'm preaching to some people here right now. You know exactly what I'm talking about because you're dealing with that yourself. And I'm here to tell you that God will forgive you and God will help you. But you can witness, amen, that it would be much better if a person never experienced drugs or alcohol or fornication or perversion. Amen. Are you listening to me? We don't need to experience these things to know what's going on in the world. That's a trap of hell to destroy your soul. What do you say? Live up. Amen. If Jesus tarries is coming, if you live to be 75 years old, you can stand and say, I've been in the church ever since I was a small child. I have never left it, and I tend to stay with it until Jesus comes after me. Praise God. Do you want to serve the Lord? Do you want to be what God wants you to be? Are you going to make yourself available for God to use you? Will you be the voice of God? Will you be the arm of God? Amen. Will you be the hand that reaches out to others that don't have the opportunity that you have? They don't know what you know about God. They've never felt the presence of God just like we felt in this service today. But you could be the one that introduces them to it for the very first time. You could be the one that interferes with the devil's plan and step between them and hell and turn them in the right direction. And you can see them, amen, receive the Holy Ghost, get baptized, and you could be their friend that encourages them to keep living for God. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I'm going to preach a few more minutes. Go ahead and be seated. It doesn't matter what circumstances you live in. Some of you can go back. Your ancestry with the apostolic movement can go back several generations. And some of you, you're the only one in your entire family that's trying to serve God. You have difficult circumstances that you live under sometimes. People don't understand. They don't really know how to appreciate what God has done in your life and what you're doing for God. But far too many of you young people, if somebody says, why do you dress the way you do? Well, this is what our pastor requires us to do. Shame on you. Shame on you. Your pastor's never asked you to do anything that's not in this Bible. All right? So I'm just speaking on behalf of God and what He expects, what He desires, what pleases Him, and just trying to let you in on it so you can please the Lord, so that you can be a special person in His sight that He will use for His glory. I'm going to tell you what. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. But some of them managed to live pretty good lives. I don't know if you noticed that or not. There's a man by the name of Daniel. Chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. Purposed. Yeah. He made a promise to himself and a promise to God that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You ever had to stand up on the job? Amen. And say, I'm sorry, but that's not something I can do. I'm not going to tell that person that you're not in the office. Somebody else is going to have to tell him. I'm not going to lie for you.
Right.
Well, you want this job? Not if I have to lie to keep it. I don't. Well, what am I going to do? I'm just going to depend on the Lord. Well, Brother Howard, what do you know about that? Probably a lot more than you would think. Amen. I've worked for several years before I was full-time in ministry. And I know a little bit about working and how it works, how the system works. And besides that, I have to counsel so many of you about situations that come up on the job and give you advice. I kind of keep up with what's going on in the workforce right now. But I'm telling you, amen, you've got to purpose in your heart, I'm not going to do anything dishonest. I'm not going to do anything immoral. I'm not going to do anything that harms or hurts someone else. Are you with me? Amen. You've got to purpose in your heart, I'm not going to defile myself. There's so many things out there you can defile yourself with. Make up your mind. I'm drawing the lines. I am not going to cross them. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So he refused to defile his body by eating the king's meat. Why? Because it was offered to idols. From drinking the wine. Why? Because he didn't want to drink something that was intoxicating. Also offered to the idols. And you know, they allowed him 3 weeks to see how he's going to do, and him and his friends, close friends that he influenced, that they changed their names, you know, from their Jewish names to Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so here they are, just teenage boys. They've been captured. Think about this. They've been captured in Israel, taken hundreds and hundreds of miles away, and that's before they had, you know, the kind of transportation we have today, into an idolatrous nation and the biggest, largest, strongest kingdom upon the face of the earth during that time. And they brought those boys there, and they made eunuchs out of them so they'd never be able to get married. And they made them servants of the king and the state. Now, you talk about having a reason to have an attitude, to be a slave, to be treated that way. But do you know what? They never forgot the God of Israel. They were one of an elite few that still was God-fearing when that king came down with all of his forces and just absolutely destroyed the countryside, killed hundreds of thousands of probably even millions of those Jewish people. And they kept some of the brightest and the choicest of the young people. And so, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was tested by the fire. Amen. When the king caused this mighty monument, the statue of a man, to be built, and I mentioned it a while back, but it was approximately 3 times taller than this building is. And it was made out of gold. And he had all kinds of orchestras and musicians and all playing instruments. And when a certain signal was given, they all played together. And everybody was to fall down and bow down and worship that idol. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were high up in the government now. They had reached great potential on the secular side of things. But they still held fast, amen, to the commitments that they made along with Daniel. And so they played the music. And everybody fell on their face except for three single men standing alone while thousands of others were bowed down kissing the ground. And somebody spotted them and didn't like them anyway and went straight to the king and said, did you know you got three of your leaders that didn't bow down when that music was played? And he told him who it was. He sent after them. They brought him in. He thought maybe they didn't understand. So he kind of said, you know, we're going to do this again. And when you hear the music play, I want you to fall down and just like everybody else. And we'll forget that you didn't do that a while ago. And they said, no, king. He said, we don't even hesitate to answer you on this matter. We are not going to bow down and worship that. And he said, well, who is your God that's going to deliver you from the fiery furnace? He said, we know he can deliver us from the furnace, but whether he does or not, we're not going to bow. Does anybody here have that kind of determination? Brother, how have you ever been treated that way? I've had a lot of pressure put on me. I worked one place where two men, much larger and stronger than me, I was just about 17 years old, caught me unexpectedly, and they started trying to pour alcohol down my throat. Yeah, I was on a public job at a business here in Tulsa many, many years ago, but I fought them like a tiger. I thought later, you know, which was worse. The way I finally got loose from them is I grabbed an empty Coke bottle, and back those days they didn't have stuff in plastic bottles like this. It was all glass. And I got one of them, pow, I hit it over something and I had me a big old jagged piece of that I backed them off. Isn't that crazy? One of them was assistant manager, another one was a manager over the meat department. So you've already figured out it's a grocery store that I was working for. I can tell you some other things. I'm just not going to go. I just let you know. It's not like I went through this world and I've never had my faith tested or tried. Amen. But you got to make up your mind. I'm going to serve the Lord. So we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If so be our God whom we serve, he is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. He may not deliver us out of this furnace, but we're not going to be controlled by your hand. Amen. Praise God. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Praise God. There's nothing like a made-up mind. I'm telling you, the devil hates a made-up mind more than anything else. Amen. He kind of tried to get you back and forth like he did Eve. Amen. But that's not the way it works. Amen. When you make up your mind, there's no negotiation. There's no discussion. Just get out of here. Amen. I made my mind up a long time ago, and I still feel the same way about it. Get behind me, Satan. Amen. What about Daniel? Somebody said, well, yeah, you talked about Daniel. He was tried numerous times, but I guess probably one of the most outstanding is whenever they made an edict, certain people got a hold of the king and sweet-talked him and got him to sign something. Didn't even really understand what he was signing, but once they signed something, it could not be changed. And he signed an edict that for a certain amount of time, certain period of time, nobody could pray to any other god or any other deity or anything else except the king. All prayers had to be addressed to the king. I'm sure that really appealed to his ego, and they got him to write that down. But Daniel is somebody that since he's a kid, he prayed three times a day, morning, noon, and night. And he didn't do it in a closet. He opened up his window on the east side of the house that looked toward the east side, because that's where Jerusalem was. That's where the temple was. And he prayed back to that temple that had been to the side of where that temple was, because God had promised when people were away from there, if they prayed toward that, that God would hear them and answer their prayer three times a day. So the ones that got that sign, they were after him because he was second in command. Amen. He was like the vice king. You ever heard of that? Vice president or whatever, more than vice president. He did all the work and the king got all the glory for it, which is fine. But anyway, he got up the next morning. He raised that same window. He prayed to God, same amount he usually did. He did the same thing that afternoon, that evening. And boy, they got all, they all had their phones out taking pictures of him and run to the king. And this is what happened. This is what happened. And the king, when he saw what had happened, he was so upset because he had been tricked. He had been fooled. He loved Daniel. Daniel was the best help he had ever had, and just so many things there. But anyway, he said, Daniel, he said, look, do you think the God that you serve all the time, do you think he can deliver you from those lions? And Daniel said, don't fret. Don't worry. Everything's going to be all right. So they took him. And they had a big underground den and had a door open it up. They dropped him down into that den of lions that had not been fed for several days. And typically they would catch somebody before they ever hit the ground and ripped it to pieces. But these lions just kind of moved back out of the way. And the king all night long, he couldn't sleep. He couldn't eat. He couldn't enjoy any music. He run all the singers and musicians off. And all night long, he paced the floor. And I mean, the next morning at the break of day, he's there. Daniel! Daniel! Was your God able to deliver you from the lions? He said, oh, king, I'm doing fine. I slept all night. You ought to try it sometime. Lions make wonderful pillows. I wasn't cold. Amen. They kept me toasty warm. Wow. That really is along the line of what it was. Amen. Daniel was taken up out of that den, and the Bible says no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand together right now. Now is the time to develop your own personal relationship with Jesus. You need a prayer life. You need to read the Word of God. Amen. You need some strong Bible-based convictions. Why do you do this? Because I have a conviction. Conviction? Yes, the Bible says thus and so. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's because I want to please the Lord. Praise God. Lift your hand and give the Lord some praise right now. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your power, your greatness, your goodness, oh God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, I magnify you. I glorify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, oh God. Praise your name, oh God. Blessed be thy name. I know this is different, but hey, I just have to do it the way I feel like doing it. Those of you that went to the conference and you got a lot out of it and you're thankful you went and you want to do some things for God, you want to make some promises to God, you want to enter into covenant relationship with God, I invite you all to come first to the altar. Don't kneel. There's not enough room. Just come on around the front. Thank you, guys. Thank you, girls. Jesus. to the Lord right now. God, I want to be what you want me to be, God. I want to do what you want me to do, God. Use me for thy glory, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, moms and dad, one or more of your children's in this altar. Would you like to come and pray with them? If you see one of your kids in the altar, Jesus, in your name, O Lord, glory be to thy name, O God. Some of them don't have a parent. If you feel a burden for somebody up here that doesn't have a parent, would you come and pray with them, please? Oh, Jesus, in your name, in your name, in your name, in your name, oh God. Praise your name, God. Jesus. Is there anyone else that wants to make a consecration to God? This is open for everyone. Hallelujah. Oh, have your way, Lord. Come on, let's find some time to pray before we leave here this afternoon. In your name, oh God. In your name, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Lord.